Tonight, I'm sitting down with the most popular girl on Netflix's American Vandal, the freakishly talented Saxon Charbonneau. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Play that, Sax. Get it
done. You've never heard this song, though.
No, I like it.
It's called Sax. Should be your theme song.
It should.
But I promise to not make any more puns.
Oh, it's okay. You can be punny.
Really?
I like that. Was freakish. Popular girl in school.
No, the freakishly.
I like that. That's good.
I don't know. Hey guys, welcome to Spotlight On. I'm Bryce McClay. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Bryce Advice. I am sitting down with one of the busiest actresses in Hollywood right now, the very talented Saxon Charbonneau. Why don't you tell everybody where they can find you on Instagram and Twitter?
You can find me on Instagram at Saxon Page Charbonneau and on Twitter as Saxon Charbonneau.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for coming down on a Sunday afternoon. I usually don't get out of bed on Sunday, so this is quite a feat for me.
Only
as
for
well.
You guys.
Yes, I appreciate. We really appreciate that. So how has your weekend been?
It's been pretty good. My sister was filming and she just got back.
Oh,
so,
nice.
Yeah.
Are you having like a little family, like homecoming dinner or something? Or
yeah.
Oh, good. So I wanted to start out the interview, and I don't know, you won't know that I know this about you, but I've heard that you've had some pretty epic house parties before.
Okay. Well, I was homeschooled. Okay. So like when you're homeschooled, you're just kind of by yourself all the time.
Right.
And I would have house parties as like my way of socializing once a week growing up, you know?
Yeah. So was it a certain night or did they just vary happen? Like, was it every Friday night or Monday maybe?
I mainly had house parties when I was like 16, 17. Okay. I had an anti-Valentine's Day house party, which was like the one I put the most effort into. I got a cake and, you know.
That's good.
Yeah.
So what's the craziest thing that happened at one of those parties? Is there?
Oh my gosh.
Were they like blowouts or was it more like?
I knew everyone.
Okay,
at
good.
The house party.
That's good.
Yeah. I would say like the biggest it ever got is I had a list of everyone that I was inviting. And I think there was like 99 people on the list. And I was like, oh my God. Like, and people like showed up in waves. So it wasn't like really intense. But
well, how did your parents feel about this?
My parents were cool with it.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So they like knew about it. I wasn't like sneaking. People
oh,
in
good.
My house. That'd be kind of difficult.
That is true. Well, I heard somebody jumped off the roof into the
okay,
pool.
Okay, yes. So, like, the week that I moved into my house, I had a house party, and Jack came over, and they jumped off my balcony into the pool, like, did a front flip. And I was like, oh, my
did
gosh.
Did they land, hopefully,
they
safely?
Landed fine, but, like, what if they didn't? I was like, whoa, like.
Yeah, did you need, like, a lifeguard, sounds like.
Right?
Did you ever do that?
No, I never did that. I was too scared. Some people climbed up on my roof, which was like a little,
yeah,
little much.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's quite a bit. So you said that you would be too scared. Are you a daredevil? So you wouldn't do, you, what's the most courageous thing you've ever done? Have you gone skydiving?
I want to go skydiving.
Oh,
I will
you
go
do?
Skydiving.
Really? Like, but it, and you have to go. I think you have to go with someone. That's a little bit more less terrifying for me because I think that going by yourself, you know, people used to just jump out of planes.
That's insane.
By themselves.
I would forget to pull the thing. Yeah. I'd be so nervous that like I wouldn't be able to move my arm.
I'd be like, when can I do it? When am I supposed to do it now? Like I do it.
I do it so fast.
I do it like it gets stuck in the propeller of the plane, like the propeller of the plane. That's how fast I would pull the. That's how fast I would pull the trigger. So I do want to talk about your family. It seems like you seem really close and really supportive. There's pictures or videos and stuff of you going to like your brother's flag football game.
Yeah.
So is that sort of a family tradition or do you go to set or
yeah,
do stuff
yeah.
like that?
I love my family. Me and my family are really close. I do try to go to all of his football games.
Well, that's good.
He's a little quarterback of his little school.
Yeah, Sawyer, right?
Sawyer, okay. Yeah, Sawyer Charbonneau. He's an actor too. And that's
all of yeah. Wife. Well, all of your siblings, you and your sister Brighton, mm-hmm. and your brother are all actors, and you're all very talented. Do you want to show the photo? There's the photo, right, of you guys,
aww.
All of you there. What's the age difference?
3 years. So
each way? Each
yeah.
way? Oh, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are like the Wahlbergs, like the new Wahlbergs.
Thank you.
How did you guys all get into the business? Did you start or was it?
Me and my little sister started at the same time.
Okay.
We started taking acting classes at the little place down the street from us when we were like 9.
Was that in Dallas or was
that was
here?
In Dallas.
Okay, so that was...
Yeah, all right. And then we started coming out to LA for pilot season when I was like 11. And then I booked a pilot when I was 12, and I...
And what pilot was that?
It was called a Karen Usher pilot.
Okay.
It was untitled.
All right.
And, I was so cool. I got to, like, shoot guns. I was, like, 11. Nice. I thought it was... Or 12. I thought it was, like,
the coolest thing ever. Were they handguns, or were they, like, were you, like, a ranch?
They were like, handguns. I was, like, a spy.
Oh, you're, like, a spy kid.
Uh-huh.
Okay. That's so awesome.
Yeah.
That should have gone to air.
It should have. It should have gone to air. I'm still salty.
So that was your first experience?
Yeah, that was my first experience, like, on a real set. It was a Fox pilot.
Okay.
Yeah, super intense. And then that didn't get picked up, but Fox put me on the show called Touch with Kiefer Sutherland.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so I moved here in 2013.
Okay, and then to be on that full time.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
Yeah.
So when you were in Texas, did you act growing up? Were you in plays? Were you guys, or did you...
I never really did the play thing. Okay. I did, like, school plays.
Did you take classes?
I took a lot of classes.
There was, like, you said you were doing theater, like,
Theater. Through, like, an acting studio there. There's a couple acting studios in Dallas.
Very cool.
Which was actually very helpful, because that's how I made my first friends. A couple people from that studio came out.
And you need friends.
I need friends. That's why I have house parties.
That's why you have the house parties. So how did you convince your parents to come out here and let you audition in L.A.?
Oh, I begged. They were not for... acting. Well, my mom was they've always been very supportive, but they weren't, like, they thought it would take up less time than cheerleading, and all of a sudden it, like, rearranged our whole lives, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And my dad works and, like, has his business, so it wasn't
what
a possibility.
He
does staffing and taxes.
Okay.
Yeah. And so it wasn't, like, a possibility for us to move out here. Like, I didn't think it was ever gonna happen. And then in 2015 my dad came out, and he still goes back to Texas to work, but, like, dream come true, life made, my family's here.
Yes, absolutely. So when you first started, so you moved out here when you were 13. I can't imagine convincing my parents to move out here when I was 13, let alone I moved out here when I was 22 and I had a hard time convincing them. So that's very, they must be cool. Like, what role do they play in your career? Why don't you answer the question?
So what role did they play in my career? My parents...
Like, do they help you pick projects? Are they instrumental in finding you things, or you...
They don't find me auditions. They don't manage me. They do, like, if I have a question about something, like, should I do this, I definitely go to them.
Mm-hmm.
I really value my parents' opinion on...
Absolutely.
everything in my life, not just my career.
Same.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be able to be here without them.
Are they performers? Like, do they...
No.
How did you guys all come out?
Right?
You guys are like, you guys are all so talented. It's just amazing.
Yeah, they didn't act. They didn't model. They didn't do anything. It was definitely a culture shock.
I'm sure. You know? They probably love that you guys are so successful.
Yeah. I mean, they support me.
I mean, obviously, either way, you would have been, but, okay. So I saw that you and your sister are bright and are starring in an upcoming film called Urban Country.
Uh-huh.
So can you tell us what that film is about? The trailer just came out, right?
Yes, the trailer just came out. Okay. So actually, I wasn't originally going to be in Urban Country.
Oh, really?
And I flew out to visit her. And then the director met me and was like, do you want to be in the movie? And I was like, yeah.
What?
And so he, like, wrote me some scenes in that day. And it was like a couple pages, like 5 or 6 pages. And we just filmed all of that, like, the one day I was on set.
Oh my gosh. So how long were you visiting that?
I was visiting, I think, 5 days.
Wow.
And so we visited over the weekend and then we went on set. And I'm really proud of my sister. It's the first project that she's leading.
That's great.
Very excited for her.
Well, in the trailer, you two share a jail cell, and I can't think of anything more annoying than sharing a jail cell with a sibling.
Right.
So, like, so did you guys, like, ever share a room together when you were little, or did you?
We never shared a room. Well, when we would come out to LA for, like, pilot season, mm-hmm. which we started doing, like, when I was 11 or 12, there would be 4 of us in a 1-bedroom apartment.
Really?
Which was very fun.
Do you guys ever get competitive, like, or in terms of this kind of stuff, or not really?
In terms of acting and stuff, no. That was very important to my mom.
Oh,
it was
good.
Actually a condition for us to start acting. Like,
so you've never auditioned for the same role or anything, or...
We have auditioned for the same role.
Really?
Actually, on Law & Order, me and Brighton had the same audition, and we both ended up booking it, which
that's
is cool.
Great. Yeah, that's great. That's, like, the best. Your mom was probably like, thank you.
Right,
you
know, exactly. Like,
she's so happy.
Yeah.
So can you tell us how your character ended up in prison? Or is that...
how my character ended up in prison.
Or do we know, does the movie ever explore that?
I know that I was wearing a red prison suit, which means that I was violent with a guard in the prison.
Oh.
Yeah, and so like walking around, they were like, you have to walk with somebody from set, because if they see you walking around, like they're gonna freak out on you. And we shot in a real prison with like real prison inmates there. And so like they would clear out all the inmates, and then we would go in, and they would like walk by us and like be yelling.
Oh my God.
I know, I felt so nervous. I was like, oh, like,
that is nerve-wracking. But wait, so is that regulation that if you're wearing a red jumpsuit, that's what signifies?
That I think it's different with each prison, okay. But in that prison that we were in, it signifies that like you were violent with a prison guard, which is the worst thing you can do.
Wow.
Yeah.
My God.
So that's what my character did.
That's really cool. So have you guys worked together before?
No.
That was the first time?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I did some real snooping, and I saw that you guys were both on Friday Night Lights, maybe, possibly?
Oh my gosh.
Or were you like...
Yeah.
What did you do?
That was like the first thing ever, like first movie set we've ever been on.
But that's like a cool first set.
I've been trying to get
set.
That off. Like that wasn't a real thing.
Let's scratch that from the record,
yeah,
everyone.
That was okay. Like we went... I think we were just like extras. Like one of our friends was being an extra and was like, oh, we want to act. Like, we'll go check it out.
They probably love that you guys were like, now that you've gotten the success you have, they probably love that. Oh, well, they started on Friday Night Lights.
I know. Yeah. I'm like, no, that wasn't really a thing. Like, that's kind of
so did you get to meet anybody on that show or like, probably not. Just like, was it just like a stadium scene? No, I'm sorry. We'll move past that. That's awesome.
And we just sat in the bleachers. And we're like, go, go acting. Go movies. You know what? Like, it wasn't.
I'm going to have to go watch that scene. Okay, so I found this video of you and Brighton. Maybe you can just shed some light on.
Where you been?
I can show you.
What? Hello?
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 Wait, was somebody... So somebody was on the phone?
I'm getting out of the phone.
I didn't know what was happening. And this was around Poltergeist time, so we were very like...
Okay.
Oh, I bet you were.
You know,
were things
suspicious? We were very suspicious.
Did you find? Was that the only thing that was this like? Were there other suspicious things when you were filming Poltergeist?
Of course, of course.
That's weird. Why? Yeah. That movie has such like weird things around it.
I didn't know that until after I was on set. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's not something that's like publicized. I don't think.
No.
But I want to say that you do really have like Taylor Swift's sort of expressions down. I'm like, that really does look like her sometimes.
Aww.
Some of the things.
Thank you.
Is that a compliment? Okay, well, good. I'm glad that that's a... I think it's a compliment.
Should I be insulted?
No. I just wanted to make sure that...
I like Taylor Swift.
No, so you guys should make a follow-up video now that she has a new album out. Then you can... Yeah. You should do another video and maybe something scary will happen too. Okay, so back to Poltergeist. So you were saying that you didn't know the kind of urban legend behind the... I don't think it's like publicized by any means. Like,
so when I first got to set, they were like, oh yeah, so you weren't afraid of the curse? I was like, what? What do you mean? Apparently there's like some stigma curse around the Poltergeist franchise, because in the original they used real human bones.
That's messed up.
Yeah, and then I guess like a lot of people died, but we didn't use real human bones.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
I feel like there was something also weird about I could be totally wrong about this, mm-hmm. but I feel like they did film on like ground that was, I mean, the show was on an ancient burial ground, the movie was based on an ancient burial ground, but the neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
but I feel like there was something to that too. Like they actually were on some sort of like weird land deal or something that went awry. So I don't know what that's creepy though.
We filmed on a soundstage, okay. So I think we're good. But
and maybe they did too. Maybe that's just something that Wikipedia said, that just like you were on Friday Night Lights. So
oh God.
So your sister Brighton was on The Walking Dead,
uh-huh.
And it seems like you like obviously you guys are fans of that show. Did she ever tell you spoilers when she was on the set, or did she ever like in secret like
tell me?
Yeah, tell you like spoilers that were happening. Does she know anything that's happening this season?
Well. So when she was filming, I did know the spoilers of what she was filming.
Oh, that's good.
Uh-huh.
Were you able to go to set, or is that kind of like...
I was filming Poltergeist the exact same time she was filming The Walking Dead.
Okay.
So for Canadian Thanksgiving, because we were filming in Toronto, I got to go visit her for a week.
That is cool. I feel like both of those sets would be so closed off, like Poltergeist, just because of everything. So it's interesting that you could... go in between, sort of.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you have to sign things like when you went there, or like did she have to sign things like when you had guests come to visit you on Poltergeist? Was
did
it
did I Like you had to get them approved.
Oh, okay.
You had to be like, hey, like, is it cool if my sister comes? Like, yeah.
I hope so.
Like, can I have family here?
Yeah. So being the oldest in your family, mm-hmm. what advice have you given to your siblings? Like, what's kind of the constant thing that you guys feel like you're telling them about the industry?
About the industry?
Yeah. Or in general. I mean, either way. Life in general.
About the industry. I mean, I feel like I'm still learning about the industry. I guess my main advice would be to do projects that you love. Like, even if it's not paying a lot, or even if there's a project that's, like, really big, but you don't love it or you don't agree with it, you have to follow your heart.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great advice.
Thanks.
Okay, and now the reverse. What do they tell you? Like, what's the best advice that you've received from either Brighton or Sawyer or both?
My best advice, my sister, I love my sister. She's so confident and she's so self-assured that most of her advice for me is about like staying true to yourself, I guess. Like being, like, she gives me older sisterly advice, you know?
That's good.
Yeah, we talk about everything, so.
That's good. I mean, that's great. At least I think it's awesome. That's why I was so interested in your family, because you seem so close and everything, but you're all in this industry and it has to be hard to navigate. I mean, it's hard to navigate number one by yourself regardless. So to have an ally and people that support you 100% has to be such a great feeling.
Oh yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You just have to, and you can talk to each other about, oh, you know, this happened to me, you know, or whatever, has this ever happened? You know, so.
Yeah, me and my sister, we, like, run lines together.
That's awesome.
Yeah, if a situation, like, happens to one of us and we didn't know what to say, we, like, come up with the answer for the next time, you know?
Well, good for you guys. That's awesome. Okay, so now we got to get to American Vandal. Now, everybody, Saxon is on American Vandal, and I want to preface this by saying, spoiler alert, I've gotten in trouble for this before, not saying this. So we are going to talk about the entire first season of American Vandal. So if you don't want to listen, then just scrub ahead or turn off right now. Okay, so American Vandal is obviously a massive hit for Netflix. Mm-hmm. Did you see that coming? I mean, I'm sure you did.
Did I see it coming? Well, when I first got the audition, they were so secretive about it. You know, like, they only gave me my sides, and, like, most of the time you get the full script. Uh-huh. And it was called, like, the Untitled High School Project. It's like, ooh.
Very creepy.
Yeah, and they had us improv in the audition. And, like, they were, like, so vague about the situations that we were improvising in that I thought it must be really good.
You know? Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Why do you think so many people tuned into it or relate to it?
I think it deals with a lot of social situations in high school, and I think it deals with it in a very real way. And it doesn't feel like characters. It feels like real people.
It does.
So, yeah, I think a lot of people relate to that.
So when you got the script, or the sides, I guess, I mean,
once
you knew what was going on, what did you like about the character?
My character?
Yeah, Sarah Pearson.
What I really loved about Sarah Pearson is I felt like she got a chance at the end to say what should be said. She got to tell Tyler's character that this kind of affected her life too. Like, it wasn't just an investigation about Dylan, like, everyone involved is being affected by this.
Yes.
And I think it's really important. I think a lot of girls in high school, I mean, I didn't go to high school, but I think a lot of girls in high school would relate to, like, rumors being started about them and them not having any control over what's being said of them and how that affects them long term. Right. And I think it brought attention to that, and I really love that about the character.
That's very, yeah, I totally agree. I think that she was, you know, you thought that, at least when I was watching initially, it's kind of like, oh, she's just, you know, like the popular girl, the one, like, and it was sort of like one note. And then she, this full circle, like, full-blown character, this really thick character comes out at the end. I think that must have drawn you to it. So you said you didn't go to high school, but what were you like in school? Were you like Sarah at all, or were you
in school?
Yeah, when you were in school.
So I went to school until 7th grade, and then I tested out of high school when I was 13.
That's impressive.
So what I was like during those ages?
Yeah.
Or like,
well, I mean, I guess just like school. Were you shy? Were you more reserved, or were you like a teacher's pet? Were you really popular? Were you super talkative? You know, just what were
I think I'm a shy person. I think I pretend not to be shy.
Yeah, I think you're doing a very good job if you're pretending now. That must be why you're a good actress.
But yeah, in school, like when I was going to school in middle school and stuff, I had a group of girlfriends, and it was kind of like the movie Mean Girls. You know, they're like, no one really likes each other, but everyone's like friends. You know what I mean?
They just like tolerated each other.
Yeah. But I think that really helped me grow as a person and like learning how to deal with situations and people talking about you. And so I was shy, but I had friends.
Okay. Yeah. I always wanted to go to high school in a TV show. Like I was, so that must've been fun. But did you and the cast like party together or did you?
I mean, the cast of American Vandal. Yeah. We went to the after party and, the premiere party. That was fun.
Oh, I bet. What about, so what about on set? Like, did you prank each other? I mean, the show is about pranking. I just assuming that maybe.
No pranks.
Really?
That I know of.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Me and Camille actually just went to the premiere of Zach and Mia last week.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, that was a party.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, so you sounded like you did party. So.
Oh, and Camille just turned, she just had a birthday. That's what I did this weekend.
Oh,
I went to Camille's birthday. Yeah, so I guess we did party together.
Yeah, so you have. So you do. I mean, like, at least you found, like, that's great. You made lasting friendships and relationships through that. Through
the totally.
Show, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Now, Jimmy Tatro, he does look like a stoner. I mean, I feel like, he, you know, like the show even says, like, don't judge a book by its cover, but, right. You know, who would do that? And I just wanted to know who do you think is the most like their character? Like, out of the cast? And it could be, you answer.
I think Jimmy's an amazing actor. I don't know.
He is an amazing actor.
Yeah, he's so
really
good. Everyone always comes up to me and is like, oh my God, Jimmy, you're in Jimmy's show?
It's so realistic. I mean, but I think it's like, it's a testament to what you said earlier. It's like the show does feel real. It feels like you guys are real. These are real people.
Yeah. And people on Twitter were even asking like, is this real? Is this a real documentary?
It feels like. Yeah. That's got to feel so good. Cause it really does. Everybody seems so, it seems like so perfect, but yeah, he's a very good actor anyway. Sorry.
Yeah. I don't know how much like his character he is. Who's most like their character? Callum Worthy, the guy who plays Alex Trumbull, he's nothing like his character.
Really?
Yeah, he's so good at like acting like kind of dorky.
That's a good answer for somebody who's like, you know, for somebody who's completely not their character.
Yeah.
That's good.
But an answer for someone that is like their character. I think Tyler is kind of like his character.
Yeah.
And the way that he takes his work very seriously and he really commits to what he's doing, I think that's a good parallel to his character.
That's very cool. Okay, so spoiler alert, everybody, again, stop watching.
Spoiler alert!
Oh, well, thank you for that.
Nice.
okay, so the ending is left open.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to ask you, do you think that there's any chance that Sarah actually did draw the dicks?
Is there any chance that Sarah drew the dicks?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Do you think you probably can't answer that?
Ooh. I mean, there was in that one episode, there was like a hashtag Sarah Pearson did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean,
I Instagrammed that. I was like, yeah.
I thought you were going to say I started that. I was like, oh, that's smart, actually.
I tried to get that going. Yeah. Really pick up, but like, yeah. It's on my Instagram.
That's great. But, you know, she says that her excuse was that she was with her parents in San Diego. And it's so funny because they say it over and over and over again, like, oh, Sarah Pearson could have done it, but she was in San Diego. I mean, that's just hysterical to me, but I don't know if I really buy that. It just seems like it's too easy of an excuse. Like, it was in the middle of the week, wasn't it?
In the middle of the week.
Yeah, it was in the middle of the week, and so I don't know. I just, what do you think she was doing in San Diego if she was in San Diego? Just chilling, I guess?
I thought it was she was visiting with her grandparents, isn't that?
Oh, right? Yeah.
Is that it?
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Okay, never mind then. Dang it. I thought she didn't have a good alibi. So the show got picked up for a second season, mm-hmm. So that's awesome. Is Sarah coming back? Can you tell us that, or do you know
yet? I don't know. I don't know anything about the second season.
Well, that's good. I mean, I guess that's good. And I hope that they continue. I think that it would be great if they could continue
the story.
With the story.
Yeah.
Or if they did a completely different, you know, if it
crime.
Could be. Yeah, it could be.
Yeah,
it, within the school, though. I mean, I think it would be cool to, like, have the same characters, but, like, a different sort of prank that went
that
awry.
Happened in the
yeah.
same school.
Yeah.
Yeah, they definitely have a lot of different directions they could go in. Mm-hmm. You know, our director and our creator and our producers are amazing, so.
Yeah.
I have complete faith that it's going to turn out awesome, whatever the story is.
I know. I'm sure. I know. I think it will, too. I was, like, hooked. I watched that. And because I have a friend that actually works on the show, and they told me to check it out, and I was like, okay, you know, trying to be supportive, and I also actually work at Netflix, so
oh, yeah. So you probably know more than me.
Yeah, actually, no, I don't. No? They don't tell me anything. I don't know where I was going with this. Basically, when I watched the first episode, I was like, okay, I'll just, you know, it's one of those things. I was like, I'll watch the first episode. I think I watched the whole thing in one night. I just couldn't stop. It was like one of those things where I just could not stop watching.
Yeah.
So it was really, really well done. So now I want to switch gears mm-hmm. here. So you've done a lot of, that was more comedic, but, and you've done a lot of horror stuff. Like mm-hmm. we talked about Poltergeist, you were in a movie called Bedeviled, mm-hmm. and now you're on Hulu's Freakish. Mm-hmm. Just to name a few. So do you like being scared?
No.
You don't?
I don't like being scared. What I like about the horror genre is that you get to show really intense emotions.
Yeah.
You know, like fighting for your life, being scared, crying, like all that, which you don't really usually get to in like a comedic type show.
Right.
Me, Saxon, gets really scared. Like, actually really, really scared. Like, I went to Halloween Horror Nights and I cried. Like, I can't do it.
Well, the scariest part of that is that there are people with chainsaws just coming up to you. Not even, like, with totally unannounced, you know?
I remember, like, looking to my friend. I'm like, if you let go of my hand right now, like, I'm never talking to you again. Like, this is, it's so serious. I'm shaking.
It is very, very serious. That's funny that I guess a lot of people... I guess there are other actresses. I think Jamie Lee Curtis, you know, she was a scream queen, doesn't like to be scared. I think she doesn't watch those movies either.
I think it works out because I get scared easily.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Do you like being a scream queen? Because I feel like you kind of are now.
You've done a lot.
Yeah, I mean, you've done a lot of stuff, which is, I mean, and that's a hard genre to get into and to like consistent stuff, so... Congrats.
Thank you.
Okay, so in Freakish, you play Anka. Mm-hmm. Anka.
Paul Anka. I did that at the table read the first time.
Really?
Yeah.
I was thinking of Paul Anka. Do you know who that is? Mm-hmm. Probably not. He's an old, very, very old actor. Anyway, his daughter's married to Jason Bateman.
Oh.
So why don't you tell us, back to you, why don't you tell us what Freakish is about?
So Freakish is set in a post-apocalyptic type world. A chemical bomb went off. And anyone who breathes the air turns into these freaks. Mm. And so that is the premise. I'm on season two, which is I get invited into the high school where a group of survivors are staying. And
yeah. Your family really likes zombies, it seems like.
My family, I think we do well.
You just do. You guys do very well with zombies.
Yeah.
Okay, so... Anka's kind of a badass. I mean, she has a bow and arrow. She knows how to shoot a bow and arrow. She has a gun for most of the time.
Yeah.
For like the longest time. Did you have to train to learn how to do it with all that stuff?
So I'm from Texas.
Okay.
Right. So in public school in Texas, there's this thing called outdoor ed, where you can get like your hunting license and they teach you how to like shoot a bow and arrow.
That's what
everyone
should have.
Yes. Right. So I knew how to shoot a bow and arrow. I was really excited when they like added that to me and I got it.
And so that was totally, that wasn't like you going and say, hey, by the way, I can shoot this. That was them just.
Yeah. They asked me, they're like, do we need to like put you in lessons? And like.
Just perfect coincidence.
You know, I used to go to competitions. Archery.
Are you serious?
Competitions. Yeah. I mean, I didn't win them, but I would go.
Well, that's funny because your character asked Violet you're like, don't you have
archery
stuff in
public school in Texas?
They were in a public school. She's like, it's a public school. They don't have archery. They don't have that stuff here. And you're like, well, actually,
yeah.
That's so cool that you noticed. So you went to competitions.
Yeah.
When did you stop going to competitions? Like last year.
Well, no, I just went to them with my school in like sixth grade in middle school. Yeah.
But that must be, I mean, that's hard to shoot a bow. I mean, it's hard to hit a target.
Well, what's hard is like when you go like this and you let go, sometimes the string will like bounce back. So you have to have like an arm guard and then you're good.
Oh,
but
okay.
we weren't that fancy. We didn't have arm guards.
Oh,
I only just get really like sore.
I only did that at camp. I was only, like, it would be like, it would, and I feel like I could do it, but I could never even hit the bullseye. Like not, it would always go like in the haystack over there. I don't know. So Anka's brother Ollie is also a survivor. He's with her, and so I want to know: who do you think she cares about? I guess more toward the beginning of the season. Like, who do you think she cares about more, saving herself or him?
Well, Anka is a very privileged girl. You know, like she's never had to deal with any problems mm-hmm. before, and I think she really loves her brother Ollie, and she is a little bit manipulative, and she's really resourceful, but I think it's all to get them to safety.
Yeah.
I think Ollie is one of the only people she cares about in the world. And I think she would... It's hard to say if she would...
Well, it is hard to say. I mean, like, what do you even do? Like, if that happened to you, like, what would be your first move if you were in an apocalypse like that?
I would put my family first.
Yeah.
I really...
I think I would, too.
Yeah.
You'd have to. I would have to find them first.
Like, my sister... Yeah, you'd have to find them. Or my brother, like... If I survived, right, and they didn't, I would just feel so...
Oh, it'd be terrible.
Yeah, so guilty.
And a lot of people on that show... A lot of the kids on the show are dealing with that exact mm-hmm. same thing. So it's really interesting because you do feel, when you're watching it, you feel like, oh, actually, what would I do? You know,
yeah.
How did they... I mean, they just... Because they're stuck there. You guys are all just stuck in this place that you can't... There's nothing that you can do about it.
Right, almost. And you don't know what's safe, especially like... with Anka and her brother Ollie, mm-hmm. Their dad owned the chemical plant that caused all of this.
Yeah.
So,
yes.
Like, are they safe trying to find their parents, trying to get back to their normal world? Are they safe letting them know that they're Kellers? Like, does that help them or hurt them? Or,
well, that's what I kind of want to know is how did they get into the situation that they're in, them being Kellers and them being so prominent in the town?
Right.
How did they get into that situation? You know, that would be something to explore.
Well, like, and if it was on purpose, if Keller set off this chemical bomb and they didn't protect Anka and Ollie, that's not good.
Right,
like,
exactly.
You know, you didn't save me?
Right.
You knew this was going to happen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm priority number one here. So who do you think Anka trusts the most, aside from Ollie, out of the group?
Aside from Ollie.
Huh. Maybe not trust her. Who do you think that she gravitates toward?
I think in the beginning, Zoe. She tries to build a mm-hmm. connection with Zoe. And then at the end, Violet. Her and Violet are really a team.
Yeah.
For the last two or three episodes.
Yeah, they are.
And she actually comes clean and admits to Violet that she did something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a really big step for Anka. And that really shows, like, a lot of growth from the first episode she's into this one. So maybe Violet.
So, yeah, I think so, too. Okay, so who's more like you, Saxon, Sarah Pearson, or Anka?
I don't know. I mean...
You could say both. I mean, it's not...
I want to say Sarah Pearson.
it's just so messed up.
I think I differ from Anka a little bit. Like, I'm not manipulative. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I try really hard to be a good person.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Even she's like not Anka.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Well, Freakish, I will say too, it gives me a sort of a Lost vibe. I don't mm-hmm. know if you ever watched the show Lost. It's like, but it sort of feels like anything can happen at any moment. I mean, as we see, spoiler alert again, everybody. I mean, I won't say anything, but there are some very significant moments in the second season where you are like, that almost came out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seems like no one is safe, sort of. So I wanted to know, like, were you nervous when you got the scripts every week? Like, where did you ever feel like,
was I nervous, like, that I
or that your character, like, oh, okay, I guess that's the end of this. I mean, yeah,
I wasn't nervous. I knew they had a plan,
mm-hmm.
you know, for Anka, and I knew they had a plan for these characters. There was a lot of, like, at the launches, like, speculation, like, okay, so, like, if you guys are in a relationship, one of you has to die,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, we were, like, trying to figure out, like, the rules of it.
That's so true.
Yeah. It was fun for the cast to try and, like, guess what we were going to be doing next episode.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because we would get the scripts for the next episode, like, sometimes a week before, sometimes, like, there'll be rewrites the night before, like, we're going in the next morning. And even watching it back, like, they edited it differently.
Yeah.
You know? So it was really fun trying to, like, figure out with my castmates what well, what our relationships were going to develop into, you know?
Right. And well, and it's been great because just seen the two shows that we talked about, you have these really, you've been able to be a part of these really great ensemble casts of people that are virtually your same age.
Yeah, right?
I mean, that's kind of unheard of.
That's never happened to me before this year.
Yeah. And so, do you guys rely on each other? I mean, do you guys kind of become a support system for each other? Or do you, I mean, you probably have sort of similar backgrounds, I would assume, maybe. Mm-hmm. But I just didn't know, like, what is the dynamic like for you? Or, I mean, do you like that sort of setting, or would you rather?
I like that. Yeah. I like having friends on set. I think that's fun. And, yeah, you develop, like, different relationships with each different castmate. But it's really fun to have someone your own age that's working just like you and understands, like, oh, I can't go out. I just had a 14-hour day. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, I like it.
Well, that's good. Yeah. No, it just seems like you guys from both shows seem like that you guys would have a lot of fun off camera as well as
yeah,
on
yeah.
Camera,
I've definitely made some lifelong friends from these shows.
That's great.
Nikki
yeah.
On Freakish is one of my really good friends. We had a great time. We would hang out in our trailers, like, in between takes and yeah. just, like,
how long did that shoot for? How long did you shoot that?
I want to say 2 months.
Okay.
Our crew is filming Vampire Diaries, so it was their off season for that.
Got it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, everybody, you guys should watch Freakish. It's a really fast fast show to watch. So that's what I mean. It's like pretty. You can like watch it pretty quickly, and you get pretty quickly engaged. And like you're like, okay, what is gonna happen? What's happening now? Okay, so now I want to move a little bit towards. So we've talked to. I mean, I guess American Vandal is sort of a comedy, but you've also been on Love on Netflix mm-hmm. as well. Do you have a preference between comedy or drama or what do you think the difference is? I guess really.
What would I think the difference is?
Acting wise.
Yeah, the difference depends on your character. You know. Like, you could have a really fun-loving character in a drama. Mm-hmm. Or you could have a really, like, depressed character in a comedy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of feel
it depends on your character.
Yeah, I kind of feel like a lot of dramatic acting is just... Or, I mean, a lot of comedic acting is just being dramatic in a very ridiculous situation.
Right.
You know?
Like, you still have to, like, feel those feelings.
Yeah, you still have to be, like, angry
right.
about, like... I don't know, someone,
about
like,
a coffee
sitting
cup
on a banana.
Instead of
yeah,
a murderer,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so I read somewhere that you want to get into producing.
I do.
So why don't you tell me, like, how did that come about?
So how did I start to want to do it?
Yeah, yeah. Like, what sparked your interest in producing? Because you seem to be doing very well acting. You know, I mean, you could easily just
stick
continue
with
acting. Yeah.
I filmed a movie with Clark Gregg called Trust Me, and he was the writer, director, and lead in that. And I thought it was so interesting. I thought he was so talented and amazing. And I was inspired. I wanted to be like that.
Because
he was controlling the story. And he was filming the angles of the story. And he was in the story. Like, when we would rehearse lines, he's like, does that feel right? Because if it doesn't, I can just change it. You know, like, that's so cool.
That's so awesome.
And also, like, I want to have a little bit more control of when I work.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm 18. I got to start, like, supporting myself,
yeah.
you know. And I love storytelling. And that's why I got into acting.
Mm-hmm.
So for me to be able to tell my own stories, I think would be incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. So where do you draw inspiration from to get the stories? Are you looking sort of at material that you've read, or is it coming from you? Or
well, I have a couple different treatments that I'm working on, and scripts, and one of them came from an article that I read. Another one came from, you know, my own experiences and
mm-hmm.
just kind of heightened a
yeah,
little bit.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
You can't just write it.
Yeah.
But that's really cool. So, excuse me. Wow. In the article that you wrote, so you based a story off an article that was like, if you don't mind me asking, was it like a short story? Was it just an article that you read? You're like, that's an interesting story. Because I've done that. I do that too. I'm thinking like, oh, I could see that being a movie, or I could definitely see that.
Yeah, so the article I read was actually about a prison
island. Don't give everybody all your secrets,
though.
Okay, good.
Was actually about a prison island, and I'm like, that would be a really cool setting. Like,
yeah.
what can I do to turn this into, like, a crazy story.
Now, do you want to? Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
So I read an article about the setting that I wanted to make a story out of.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's very cool. So do you think, would you want to be in, I mean, I'm assuming, but would you want to be in the stuff that you're producing, or would you want to, that's.
Yeah. I mean, acting is my first love.
Yeah.
So I would definitely produce things that I'm not in when I get to that point.
Right.
But right now, like, I would love to act and produce something.
Yeah. Well, yeah. A lot of women in Hollywood are doing that now. I mean, Reese Witherspoon, yeah. Obviously Big Little Lies was huge. I mean, mm-hmm. do you look up to that? Is there anybody in particular that you look up to?
Oh my gosh, for
inspiration?
Of course.
I mean, obviously Clark Gregg was a big inspiration too, but uh-huh. Anybody else?
Beth, who is the creator of Freakish. She wrote and produced this, wrote and created Freakish. Mm-hmm. And I'm inspired by her. I'm inspired by all the women in the entertainment industry. Like, this wasn't happening when I started. Like, women weren't really, I mean, they were, but like to a lesser degree than they are now, like creating their own stuff and having like all women cast and like workers and crew. And I think
and that's making amazing. Well-rounded characters, right. As well. You know, you'd see a lot of female characters that are much more diverse than they have been before.
You don't want to play the best friend to the guy, like, the hot girl. Like, I want to play deep, character developed stories.
So
characters
with Beth, do you talk to her about these aspirations and stuff, or is it more just like, I just wanted to know if you go to her and just say like, hey, I would love to be doing this. Can I follow you around, or is that an interest to you?
I mean, I would love to do that. Yeah. I have talked to Beth about me wanting to create and write. One of the producers at Awesomeness, Kay said that I could like send her my script and she'd give me notes, and so that's
great.
Yeah,
that's
great.
Really great.
Yeah.
Do you have any other like areas of interest aside from like acting, producing? Do you sing?
Do I sing? I sing a little bit. I've actually recorded a couple.
I was gonna
songs.
Say, I feel like that's like the next thing you got to do. There's like you like already do everything else. It's like you should just keep singing.
Yeah.
Or you should just keep singing. I sound just, like Dory. Just keep singing.
Yeah.
Anything else? Any other?
Well, let's see. Acting, producing, or writing, singing.
Directing, maybe?
Ooh.
That's a little terrifying to me, too.
Yeah. Maybe eventually in, like, the future, but I'm more focused on, like, acting and writing right now.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, okay, before we go, I want to play a little game with you. I'm going to name somebody that you've worked with before, and you have to describe them in one word. Only one word.
Okay.
So think of adjectives.
All right.
Judd Apatow.
Smart, sweet.
Oh, okay.
Is that good?
Yeah, that's good. Kiefer Sutherland.
Kiefer Sutherland, really talented.
There's no time limit.
There's no time. I know. Okay, like, I hear this music.
Music is funny, but you don't have time. You don't have time limit.
Kiefer, yeah, talented.
Talented. Mm-hmm. Okay, Mariska Hargitay.
Mariska, what's one word for Mariska?
Yeah, she's pretty well.
You know. Not powerful, but
like maybe driven or
driven. She was kind of like a mentor. She wanted to like
boss.
Yeah, boss, boss ass girl. Yeah.
Okay. Sam Rockwell.
Sam Rockwell. Funny.
Funny.
Uh-huh.
Clark Gregg.
Inspiring.
Oh, hey, nice. Yeah. Tom Ellis from Lucifer.
Tom Ellis. Sweet. I met his daughters. He's a very sweet guy.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's fun to watch him transition from, like, Tom, like, the nice guy, into, like, the devil. It's yeah. Like, kind of cool.
Yeah, that's very cool. Okay, and my last one is Brighton Charbonneau.
Lovely. Brighton is lovely.
Oh, she's going to be so happy that you said that. Well, thank you so much for sitting with me, Saxon. Season 1 of American Vandal is currently streaming on Netflix, and you can see all episodes of Freakish on Hulu right now. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. That's it, everybody. Thanks a lot. You can find me. I'm Bryce McClay. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Bryce Advice. You can find Saxon at Saxon Charbonneau on Twitter and Saxon Page Charbonneau on Instagram. Gosh.
Nice. Man. Remembered.
I mean, it doesn't happen often.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only. They do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.